peppers with E. coli, peanut butter with rodent hair, ew, eggs with salmonella. No wonder both citizens and the government are looking closely at the food supply. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has the job of tracking numbers and analyzing foods trends in foodborne illnesses and deaths. And I just grossed myself and everybody else out. Recently, the CDC overhauled the methodology for carrying all this out, giving a new picture of the rate of deaths from bad food. Here to explain this, how it all works, is the director of the Division of Foodborne, Waterborne, and Environmental Diseases at the CDC, Dr. Chris Braden. Dr. Braden, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
How has this methodology changed, and what have you learned from that?
Well, we recently published new estimates of the foodborne illnesses in the United States, and this has improved a lot since the previous estimates came out in 1999. The major emphasis on the improvements that we've made and being able to produce such estimates rely on basic public health initiatives in improving our outbreak investigation and reporting. And that, in turn, is based a lot on what we're able to do in public health surveillance for individual cases that are reported through the public health systems, and advances in laboratory diagnostics. Public health laboratories have made a lot of advances in being able to look at what we call DNA fingerprints of individual microbes and being able to link them together to identify outbreaks. And a lot of that information is what's new in being able to provide the new estimates on the number of foodborne illnesses in the United States.
So it sounds like it's a data-driven approach, and you're using both data from the field as well as scientific information about what it is that's being found in the food.
Yes. You know, we base these estimates on the pathogens that we know of that cause foodborne illnesses in the United States on our surveillance and on our outbreak investigation and reporting. But that doesn't account for all of the cases, of course. As you can imagine, there are a lot of people who never see their physician because they've been ill with a gastrointestinal illness for some period of days. Or even if they do go see their physician, a sample isn't taken to make a accurate diagnosis. So we have to estimate, based upon what we do know, what the bigger picture is out there of foodborne illnesses. And we do that through a number of surveys that have been conducted, much more so in the last decade than when we produced our first estimates.
Now, the recent estimate shows fewer deaths than the earlier estimates. I think it went from 5,000 to 3,000. So does that mean we should feel better about the food supply? What does the new statistic tell us?
Well, we think the new statistic is probably a more accurate estimate of illnesses. It shouldn't be used really as a direct comparison for a measurement of trend with the old statistic. We have different data from another system that we used for measuring trends. And during about that same period of time, when we look at the major pathogens that we have under surveillance in that system, there's been about a 20% decline. So I think there has been some improvements over time. But any way you look at it, these numbers are large, and it's too many for people to have that kind of illnesses, to have the 128,000 hospitalizations, 3,000 deaths. There's definitely a lot more we need to do.
Looking back at that methodology, you were talking about how these techniques get better with time. Is this something that the CDC regularly has to do, is check that methodology, tweak it, change it, make these adjustments? Or is it one big overarching change every few years? How is that handled?
So we identify on an ongoing basis limitations in our information, limitations in our methodologies, and we try to address those limitations. The things that have happened over the last decade to allow us to produce more accurate estimates have been throughout that time, and we accumulate better data, better methods to be able to do that potentially on a periodic basis, but not on a frequent basis. It just takes time in order to get better data and methods to produce such analyses.
Dr. Chris Braden is director of the Division of Foodborne, Waterborne, and Environmental Diseases at the National Center for Emerging and Zoonotic Infectious Diseases. That's all part of the CDC. And now that you're doing this, we noted earlier this morning that the FDA is about to get much more authority to inspect food facilities and order recalls of food. How does the CDC interact with the FDA when there's something known about a particular part of the food supply?
Well, we have a close interaction with the FDA, and, you know, we are responsible primarily for the identification and investigation of outbreaks. We have a lot of communication with the FDA and help with FDA in that process. Once a food vehicle is identified as part of an outbreak, for instance, why there's a lot that has to happen with the FDA than with in a regulatory and with their inspections to make sure that particular risk is alleviated. So it's a kind of a gradation of things that we do on the front end with our public health surveillance and investigation, and then when they come into the picture with their kind of regulatory efforts. But it's a very close interaction, and I think that the legislation that has been passed in Congress will help in that interaction in the future.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that, if you find that more of a help or more of a challenge. But from what you just said, it seems like it'll sort of help open up that two-way flow of information between the two agencies.
Yeah, like I said, you know, we're in constant contact with one another. And so it is a close working relationship. But one thing that we all recognize is that reacting to outbreaks is probably not the optimum way to protect the public's health. We need to be able to prevent these outbreaks from happening in the first place. Some of the data that is used in these estimates will now be used to what we call attribute illnesses and hospitalizations, deaths to specific food vehicles, so that we know where the problems lie and where to focus our efforts and to focus programs in order to prevent these outbreaks from happening in the first place. And that's where this interaction, where we can come up with these estimates, and then it'll guide the policies of our regulatory partners to be able to do that.
And so will there be a program to reach out, say, for example, to hospitals and public health officials at the state level to make sure they know, hey, if you see something, tell us in a hurry?
Yeah, well, again, we rely on the local, state, public health partners, regulatory partners for the information that is used in our public health surveillance, our surveys, and so forth. And so that partnership is critical.
Dr. Chris Braden is director of the Division of Foodborne, Waterborne, and Environmental Diseases at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Thank you very much for joining us with that update.
My pleasure.